This is the Inside Malmy Athletics Podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy Schneider. Thanks for tuning in to our fourth episode. It's hard to believe the fall season is getting close to tournament time for many of our Malmy teams. Golf started its postseason this week. Girls tennis has its tournament draw this weekend. Boys and girls soccer and volleyball will do their tournament draws next weekend. And the football season is halfway over. Before we start looking too far ahead, though, let's take a look back at the highlights from last week and our Panthers rewind. The Malmy boys soccer team improved to 11-0 with three big wins last week. In non-league action, they beat Bowser 11-3 and Salina 6-1. Blake Wagner had 4 goals and 3 assists. Mac Abdurazak had 2 goals and 3 assists. And Noah Preciado and Frankie Folger each had 2 goals in the win over Bowser. Frankie had 4 goals in the win over Salina, and Blake had 1 goal and 2 assists. The Panthers also moved to 5-0 in the Northern Buckeye Conference with an 11-0 win over Eastwood. Now check this out. Blake Wagner had a school record 7 goals and an assist. 7 goals. Also, Malmy has yet to give up a goal in the NBC. Wagner, by the way, is now second in Ohio with 30 goals and 71 points. The Panthers girls soccer team moved to 3-5-2 overall and 2-1-1 in the conference with a huge 2-1 win over Eastwood on the road. Evelyn Boyette scored 2 first half goals to lift the Panthers to the win over the Eagles. Malmy, Eastwood, and Oak Harbor shared the NBC title last year, and hope is still alive for the Panthers this season. The Malmy football team lost for the second straight week, 28-15 at Eastwood. The Panthers held a 15-14 lead in the third quarter and showed definite signs of improvement from the previous week's loss to Oak Harbor. Cody Wolf scored twice, and Donovan Mays and Cohen Jones each had interceptions. Malmy is now 3-2 overall and 0-2 in the NBC. Malmy volleyball started last week with a 3-1 loss to NBC leading Lake, but they rallied for a 3-1 win over Rossford later in the week. After losing the first set, Malmy reeled off 3 straight set wins for the match victory. Autumn Draper had 15 kills and 4 blocks. Kennedy King had 7 kills and 5 blocks. Julia Kucher and Blake Kwiatkowski each had 3 aces. Brooke also had 16 digs and 23 assists. Kirsten Green had 14 digs, and Kucher and Mia Mitchell had 10 each. The boys' golf team placed 5th at last week's NBC Championships at Green Hills. Antonio Valadez had a career-low 85 to lead the way. Zach Morris added an 88, and Jeremy Anderson, Wannell, J.J. Peace, and Mateo Valadez each had 92s. Congratulations to Antonio and Zach, who were both named second team All-NBC. Girls tennis improved to 10-3 overall with a 4-1 win over Springfield and a 3-2 win over Whitmer. The Panthers also lost to district powerhouse Bryan. Samantha Mavis and Kirsten Kraut each had single wins in the 2 team victories. The boys cross country team placed 18th out of 24 teams at the Liberty Center Extravaganza last weekend. Junior Gabe Dario paced the Panthers with a finish in 18 minutes, 13.2 seconds. On the girls' side, Ariana Dugan ran to a 29th place finish out of 201 runners at the LC Extravaganza. The freshman came through in 21 minutes, 3.69 seconds. And that's a look at the last week in Panthers athletics. Our guest this week has turned Malmy boys soccer into not only a power in the area, but the entire region. After advancing to the regional tournament last year, he has the Panthers off to an 11-0 start and a 5-0 mark in the NBC. The Panthers are closing in on another NBC title and district title. Can they make it even further this year? We'll find out next. This is our conversation with Malmy boys soccer coach Chad Kane. You guys had your 19-1-1 season last year, and I'll just be honest with you. When you told me before this season you think you guys could be better,
I thought coaches lost it. Coaches, how do you get better than 19-1-1 and a regional semifinal? But, I mean, look at it. You guys have. What was it coming into this season that led you to believe you guys would be better? And what has happened to make that happen?
I knew last year's team was obviously special.
Right.
I mean, you don't get seasons like that without having that leadership. But I knew I had Blake Wagner. I had Jackson Greenlease. I have Frankie Folger. I have Noah Preciado. I have a really skilled Mac Adorazic.
Yeah.
You know, we got those worker bees, Will Boyles. You know, I knew Braden Saintholtz could come back and put what he needed to his stamp on the back. My question marks were, could we fill in around him?
Yeah.
And Owen Sloan has stepped up and played in is really playing well. We're getting kind of at this point right now, we're starting to find our groove a little bit on the outside backs. That's where the problem really was concerning.
Okay.
You know, but Colin Brewer is doing well. Brock Saintholtz has had a great two games.
Yeah.
Filling in, never playing in the back before. Adam Farnsworth, Nate Durham, everyone's pitching in.
Yeah.
And the surprise, I guess, would also be in our goalkeeping. Jax Blue's obviously made some mistakes. The freshman, he's going to learn from them. But he's made some saves when we needed him to make saves. So it was a learning curve. Like, what did we need to do to get better? And I think by the tournaments we played, our preseason, we challenged them right off the get to say, okay, where are we at? What do we have to do to get better? You know, obviously, we played well. We had a little tent at Bowser where we weren't ready.
Okay.
And ended up down 3-0, you know, 9 minutes in the game. But, you know, obviously battled back, showed character.
Right.
And then we had a gut check meeting the next day. Like, look, what do we want to do? We want to play or do we want to do? So we had an amazing training session, went down, played probably one of our better games, you know, not against a rebuilding Eastwood team.
Yeah.
We circled Salina at the beginning of the year and said, we want to make a statement. We want everybody to know in that conference, the Lima Shawnees and the people that don't give us the respect that we need, that, hey, we're real and we're coming and we're going to play. And Salina got it yesterday.
Yes, so, they did.
We gave up. The goal we gave up was a little bit fluky. It would, you know, we, and again, freshman, he'll make mistakes.
Sure.
But other than that, they had one shot on goal. We went there with a purpose, and we laid it out.
So going back to that Bowser game, I think that's one of the things that's with a team as talented as yours and with the expectations, with their knowledge. I mean, these kids know they're good. They know this is going to be a good season. Was it a matter of them just believing that, hey, we're going to show up to Bowser, Bowser's going to lose to us because we're Mall Me, we're beating everybody by, you know, 10 goals a game? Was that a matter of it? And if it was, what was the conversation like, you know, that next day, that gut check meeting of, guys, this has got to end, we have to play?
So training up before Bowser was not the greatest. We were talking fantasy football. Can I trade Patrick Mahomes? Can you give me whoever. We were clowning, and I really didn't say anything. I just sat back. They clowned. You know, training was average, and bus ride there was the same thing. Talking, laughing, giggling. Warm up was the same thing. I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's just where you want to go.
Yeah.
And 7 seconds into the game, we made a crucial mistake. Ball went up over our goalkeeper's head. We're down 1-0. 40 seconds later, we went to head a ball out, misplayed it, headed it backwards, went up over our goalkeeper and in. And the next goal, they served a ball across. We went to clear it. We whiffed it. The guy tapped it in. Oh. I sat down in my chair. I didn't speak to the boys the entire first half. And we battled back. It was 5-3 at halftime.
Right. Right.
But at halftime, I said some things.
You had a come to Jesus moment.
We did.
Yeah.
And I had to step myself out to regroup as well.
Sure.
And came back in the huddle and said, we're going to get through today.
Yeah.
But we have to figure out where we want to be.
Right.
So we finished the game and we came out to the field. And I said, look, we either train and we train hard and all the silliness goes away, or you see what happens. And against a good team, if we give up that way, we're done. It's just is what it is.
Sure.
Had a great week of training.
Yeah.
Worked hard. Boys were serious. Bus ride was silent on the way to Salina. I could tell that we were definitely locked in.
That's a long bus ride, too.
Yeah. And they got out. warmed up. I mean, we got in our little huddle and we said, you know, this is a game we circled, right, boys? This is it. We wanted to come here. We know that they were going to be, if the polls came out today, we knew that would probably be Lima, Shawnee, Salina, and then us.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Yeah.
Salina beat, or Lima, Shawnee beat Salina 4-1 there.
Right.
So we said, okay, we can double a statement here twice. Go ahead and say our RPI is low because of the conference we're in.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come down here then.
Yeah.
And we'll show. So that was a statement win for us in what I believe. So if Lima, Shawnee and the people that vote look at it, they can say, wow, well, Lima, Shawnee is 8-1-1 with an RPI of 5. And Maumee comes down here and puts 6 on them. So we wanted to make sure they knew that, hey, we are for real.
Yeah.
And we want to play. So it was a great, great win. For us, it was an awesome day. It was an awesome day for our soccer program. I couldn't have been more proud of the boys and the effort and what they did. So yesterday was a good day for our program.
You guys have a generational talent, a kid who people may never see something like this again. And we have to realize we're watching, I mean, history. I mean, I this all sounds very flowery and hyperbolic and everything, but I mean, it's true. Blake Wagner is a once in a generation special type of player. When did you know that Blake may not score 100 goals in his career, not lead the state, but just was going to be a special player? When did you first realize that this kid's something different?
I did not know Blake at all when he came in his freshman year. I'd heard of him.
Okay.
You know, my cousin coached him, and you know, they're like, God, this kid's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watch him. Watch for him when he gets there. You know, obviously I had the luxury of having his brother.
Yeah,
you know,
well, that's true. Yeah.
He's good as well. So, you know, you hear everything, but until you see it, I would say, I mean, his freshman year training, he looked okay. He got in the mix. He was definitely able to start as a freshman for us. But at that point in time, when he came in as a freshman, we were playing in the NLL, in the top division of the NLL.
Yeah.
Against the Zach Mokas, the Schofields. It was just jammed of talent.
Yeah.
And for him to put 10 goals up as a freshman, you got to say, okay, is he for real?
Yeah.
What can he do to get better? How do we get him better? Him and I put in, you know, a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
We did some one-on-one things. We tried to create room for him to get him into space to find out really what he could do. Again, better year, his sophomore year. And then he started getting a little bit of size to him.
Yeah.
And then started realizing, you know, like, hey, I love this game. I want to put the work in. Then he came and started playing travel for me. Then we were able to have summer preparing, you know, getting him better, doing everything. I always thought that he had it in him, but it was like, what was really going to bring it out of him? And then you just saw he said, I'm going to break every record, including my brother's. And that was a little friendly. We've talked about this between him and, you know, him, Braden and Blake. But at that point, he's the type of kid that I believe if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Right.
And he's going to do it to the best of his ability. And that is what I find most amazing about him.
Yeah.
And so for him to have 112 goals right now, obviously he's going to break 115.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's at 125 by the end of the year. He has set the records here. I mean, I played here. You know what I mean? I got to do some fun things here. And, you know, it's just crazy to see where he's taken that personal goal to the next level. I don't see another player ever in Maumee history that's going to put 120-plus goals up and do the things that he's done. Would I love to have that? Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what he's done is just simply amazing. But it's done because he works so hard.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like he just goes out and the ball finds his foot. He's there to bang in rebounds.
Right.
He's creating things on his own. He's putting the work in at training. He knows what's happening. You know, yesterday, I'll just use an example on this. Yesterday, Salina put a player behind him and a player in front of him.
They sandwiched him.
He scored a goal yesterday, but then the unselfishness of him is what becomes amazing, because yesterday, Frankie Folger makes brilliant runs. Noah Priest out of these guys.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Frankie Folger puts in four goals off assists from Blake Wagner.
That's wild.
So that part of the game is even grown too, where he's now finding his teammates.
Yeah.
So think about a kid here who is being double teamed, maybe triple teamed, still has 31 goals,
mm-hmm.
and is finding his teammates and making everyone around them better. And that is what I love about Blake. Everything that I send to a college coach doesn't say, yeah, can he score goals? Absolutely. Is he a great soccer player? Absolutely. But you know what he is? More than that, he's a great young man.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing that's always impressed me about Blake is, sure, what he's doing is incredible, but how he's doing it, I think, is even more incredible. The humility. Like, you can't get the kid to talk about himself.
No.
He scores 100 goals in the Oak Harbor game. He spends exactly like 5 or 6 words talking about himself, and then the rest of the time is talking about the team and team goals. How he's doing this is truly special, and I think that's something people need to celebrate.
Right, and that is what, though, we have worked on, or at least for the 6-7 years now that I've been here, is it's not about one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all of us. One player doesn't win games. And
right.
We've talked about this. I call it this every day, and I bet you could bring every one of these guys in here and sit them down. We are a soccer family. It may not be at every bonfire or every this, but when we walk through the gates,
sure.
and we step across that line, we go to battle together, and it's not about one of us, it's about all of us. And we couldn't be where we are without the work that they all put in. Yes, do we have a very special talent? 100%. Yeah. Does he give us a chance to win every game? Any game?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's that dangerous. But it never comes down to that. And you're right, you saw WTL talk to him, and he went straight to the guys. Mm-hmm. So that just speaks about the character of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, is what, for me, don't get me wrong, I love to win.
Oh, yeah.
The
absolutely.
Record, we love what we're doing.
Yeah.
But the big thing for me is just the bond and what we've created in this program is what makes it, I think, more special for me.
Newspaper has been a supporter of IMA from the very beginning. If quality journalism is important to you, please consider becoming a subscriber. You can head to their website at themirrornewspaper.com to find more information on becoming a traditional print or digital subscriber. So it's very true. Anybody with two sets of eyes can see that Blake Wagner is an incredible player. But you're right. He can't do it by himself. There's no one player that could win all these games and do all this by himself. You need the Frankies. You need the Noahs. You need all of these other kids. So talk about them being able to step up into their roles. And, they're truly playing vital pieces to what you guys are doing right now.
100%. Frankie has picked up a huge gap in goal scoring where Austin Dwyer left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made that. And, you know, playing off Blake, getting it there, is obviously allowing Frankie to excel. And he's doing what he needs to do. He scored the first 4 goals yesterday. Took mm-hmm. the team under the wing. You know, they were good passes, good movement. But he took it away. And when he's struggling, you got to deal with Noah Preciado coming off the left side, who's had multiple hat tricks. You know, we have, I always call Will as like our little kind of like worker bunny. He's that kid doing the dirty work.
Sure. Every team needs one of those.
Yep, and he does his thing out there. And, You know, but yeah, Frankie Ynoa pick up the slack. Jackson Greenlease has thrown some goals in, but he's even now taking on a new role. He's had to drop back into our holding mid, so he's doing that. I've got to mark the team's best guy. Yesterday was amazing, absolutely amazing, the way Jackson Greenlease played.
Yeah.
I couldn't give him enough props for the way he played yesterday. Obviously, Frankie, four goals, exceptional.
Yeah.
But Ynoa, the creation, he does everything he does. And then the surprise of everything has been Matt Adorazek.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he's a great player on the ball. Got great vision, finds where the ball needs to go. Prime example yesterday on Blake's goal, Mac was 1v1 with the keeper. Keeper came out, defender came over. Instead of just shooting it, which he could have and scored, dished the ball across, Blake tapped the ball on the goal. Just the unselfishness of it, but what an addition he's been.
Able
to be here full-time and really put his minutes in. So they're all, that's what I said, it's a team effort. Yeah, we have a Blake Wagner.
Yeah.
But the one thing is this, take Blake Wagner And go ahead and put two or three guys on him. Now you're really in trouble because now you got to deal with Mac, Frankie, Ynoa. That is the one thing, like, a lot of teams think, like, well, if we shut Blake down, he's got 30 goals.
Yeah,
but Frankie has 18, Ynoa has 16, Mac has 9. You pick your poison here, boys.
What are you going to do?
We're going to come at you one way or the other. That is, I mean, yes, they all come up. And at the end of the day, the guys who never get any credit are the four guys that are in the back defending. I think Blake did hit the nail on the head when he said Braden Saintholtz is probably the most underrated center back in the entire league. And I believe that.
Wow.
He is by far our anchor. He's a senior. He knows the game.
Yeah.
He keeps it where it needs to be. He keeps it in check. He goes under the radar because he doesn't get all that publicity because he's sitting in the back.
Sure.
But without Braden Saintholtz, that engine falls apart back there.
Right. You've got a bunch of freshmen back there, a bunch of new faces back there. Without that steadying influence, they're not doing what they're doing.
No. He, yesterday, with his brother playing on the one side of him now,
that's awesome.
He even looked over like, I got you. Like, you know, you could see that.
The big brother.
Look, yeah. I got you. You make a mistake, I got you.
Yeah.
And there was a time I even yesterday said something to Brock, like, you know, like, get why don't ever turn in like that because we don't want to give the ball away. And Braden looked up and he said, Coach, it's on me. So it was like,
wow,
I got this.
Wow.
We're going to fix it. So it's, that's just the type of group I have.
That's incredible.
And, you know, I really can't say it enough. You know, a lot of coaches come in like, I'm comfortable coaching.
Yeah.
I feel like I can coach. But what I think I take pride in more than anything is just the chemistry and what we have as a group. Because you can be the greatest coach in the world, but doesn't mean your boys are going to go to battle for you.
Right.
And I 100% believe that what we've created here between myself, the players, our JV guys, everyone coming up through our system is that trust and that bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when they step across the lines, when it's time, that I'm going to get 110. And I think that is what I pride myself most on about coaching is that the relationship that we have is that we will go to battle together.
Right.
And if you do that, that's half of it. The practicing part is easy. It's getting them to buy into what you do to make you successful. And you don't get to 19-1-1 and 11-0. And at this point, even with a freshman goalkeeper, we've still only given up, I don't even think we've given up 10 goals yet.
Probably not. No. That's wild.
So
that's wild.
You know, even people are like, oh, you gave it. But if you look at the stats, if it is, it's a shade over it. You know, we're 78 goals in and less than 10 against in 11 games. There's something that we're building. There's something that we're doing right.
Yeah.
And that is where it's at. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to be a fun group. So I'm not going to say mark my word on this, but I will say NBC Championship is that we want that.
Yes, absolutely.
And we know October 2nd, that's another game that's circled that we're going to Lake and we're going out. And if once we take care of that game and we bring that title back, the next step is senior night here, Bowling Green, to be undefeated at 17-0. And that's our goals.
Extremely lucky to have the Pride of the Panthers helping us make memories for our students. There aren't many communities or schools who have a group of talented photographers at almost all of our kids' events and games.
You can follow them on Facebook by searching Pride of the Panthers.
So I've said it before with the move to the NBC. It was never supposed to be about winning championships right off the bat. That wasn't the reason behind the move. And then you guys come through and you absolutely dominate your entire conference schedule last year. You're dominating it this year. There's a couple things in there that I want to get to, but we'll just start general at first. How do you think the move from the NLL to the NBC has been for the boys soccer program?
I think it's a good move. Because there's going to be times that we're not on a high note. You know, when the NLL split and went to the two divisions, and you know, you got the Buckeye and Cardinal, or however it broke down.
Right.
And you got like Napoleon, Bowling Green, Springfield. I believe if we were in that division for soccer, I think the last year and this year, I think we win it.
Absolutely.
But I know there's times that we're down, and the NBC fits those molds for schools that are smaller and need to be a little bit more competitive. It's a great move for us. And again, championships are great, but at the same time, I will say it's hard to stay focused and to know what you have to do when games are the way they are.
Getting a little out of control.
You're not getting, and we had just said this before, is when your starters are only playing 40 minutes instead of 80, they're not getting what they need. That game fitness goes down. Everything goes down. The plus side is that our JV guys are playing half varsity games.
Right.
So they're all getting minutes and learning a little bit about varsity soccer and a little bit quicker the game is and things like that. But that's the flux part, is trying to figure out how do you keep your 12 to 15 horses healthy, game fit, and ready to go when if you play them the whole time, the scores are going to be 15 to 20 to nothing,
sure.
Which is, it, you know, I've been there. It's not the greatest feeling for your players or as a coach.
That does nobody any good, yeah.
So that part is where the flux is hard for me.
Right.
Is because I want the boys to stay sharp and on their game. But with that being said, now we're going to put 20 goals on you.
Right.
You know, you talk about, again, a Blake Wagner and them. If I let him run wild in the NBC, he would be at 50 goals right now.
Oh, for sure.
And probably everyone else would be pretty close to 30.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just not one that can do that.
Right.
But it is tough. But I know there's going to be years maybe that we are in that same boat and we're struggling.
Sure.
But that is what I would say. It's a tough one, I guess, for me, because you don't want to downplay any other school because they're trying, they're rebuilding.
Right. Right.
But at the same token, sometimes when we go to play somewhere, the comments from coaches, you know, that even might throw a comment out on the field or say something to me, it bothers me as being very unprofessional because I'm not here to do that.
Right.
And I usually will even talk before the game and say, hey, this is what I did. I brought 30 guys today. But I also can't help that when I sub out varsity and I put the younger guys in and they score four or five, I can't prevent that.
Right. What are you supposed to do at that point?
Right. And, you know, so there's been coaches that won't shake my hand. There's been coaches that have thrown some comments at the boys. And that's tough. And you sit in meetings and, you know, they're like, oh, mom, you know, it's tough. And I've been on both sides of the stick because I've sat in NLL meetings and heard guys, you know, like, you know, say like, oh, mommy, you know, like these players, they don't deserve whatever first team. But I don't have, just because we're 0-8 in the NL didn't mean that we don't have good players.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I agree, there's players in the NBC that could be on an 0-10 team, but doesn't mean that every player in your team is a bad player or doesn't deserve league honors.
Right.
But when you come in and poke the bear as in saying, you know, well, mom, you could have this, so what, we're going to put seven of them on first team? Look, if seven of them deserve it, then seven of them be there.
Yeah.
So there's some things like that get a little bit. You have to stay, I don't know how to say this, but you have to stay calm. You have to stay in the moment.
Sure,
of
sure.
Saying, hey, how do you protect your players and what they're doing? But I would say that's the hardest part, is just, I understand it. I get it, because we've been there. But at the same time, we didn't ask, like, you know what I mean? We didn't ask, like, oh, we have a good soccer team this year, so we went to the NLL. That's not what happened.
Right.
So you guys that come at us, just that, I think that's the most frustrating part for me, to be honest with you. It's not so much the championships. Do we love to win them? Absolutely. But it's definitely not the most important thing.
Well, and it's like we talked about this before. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to sacrifice the preparation of your team, getting them ready for a tournament run, making sure they're getting everything that they signed up for out of the, because sure, those other coaches can talk about their players and what they're getting out of it, but you've got your players and you have a responsibility to them. So are you supposed to just leave them and sacrifice them so the other teams don't get their feelings hurt? That's ridiculous.
And that's kind of what happened, like at Eastwood. I knew their coach, so I actually talked with them before the game. I said, look, we play you guys on today, Wednesday. We're at Saline on Saturday. My guys got to go.
Yeah.
I have to be ready for Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting you know that we have to go.
Right.
I feel bad.
Sorry, but
it is what it is.
Yeah.
So my starters went all the minutes till about the last 14.
Okay.
And then I sub. But I'm like, we have to get leg ready. We have to be fit, game fit. We have to know that we're going to battle 80 minutes on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. So I'm not going to sacrifice our season to make you happy. But then again, it's the way that some of these coaches react or respond to us.
Yeah.
So that is probably the most frustrating part for me.
So is that why it's so important to non-league schedule the Salinas, schedule the teams like that? You mentioned the RPI. So you get that RPI up there because it's now all computer where you're seated and everything. To make sure the guys are ready. That's why it's so important when you're this good and maybe when the rest of the NBC is down a little bit, that's why it's important to schedule these Salinas and teams like that, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And like I said, I don't take – and it's not all – let's clear to this. It's not all NBC coaches.
Sure, yes.
But it's a select few that are really mad that we're there.
Right.
So I have some friends that do coach in the NBC that understand and they're like, we get it, Chad. But there's a few that they don't. But yes, and that's why we put Salina. You know, Wapakoneta, for example, was really strong last year. We anticipated that to be a big battle. We can't control what they lost or what they have coming back.
Right.
You know, Perkins is always a good game.
Yes.
You know, we're expecting a decent game out of Wauseon next Saturday. That's why they're on there. The Bowling Greens are on there. You know, we tried. You know, we had Springfield. They dropped us. We had Finley. They dropped us.
gee, wonder why.
We wanted to play these guys.
Yeah.
We wanted to be better.
Absolutely.
That's the only way we get better.
Right.
So when you look at the RPI too and come at us with what we're doing. Look, we had a tough schedule. We put Finley, we put Springfield, we put these guys on the schedule. It wasn't our fault they dropped, and then we had to go pick up schools that needed games.
Right.
That's not our problem. And, and again, that is 100% why the Salina game was circled.
Yeah.
Is we just wanted everyone to know you can look at the schedule. Anything can happen. We could lose a game here on the way out. Who knows? But we wanted everyone to know that you can look at the record. You can judge our RPI, but don't overlook us.
Right.
Because we are for real. It showed. I mean, it showed. I'm not going to. I thought Salina was well coached, well prepared. The coach was he was super nice after the game, came up and talked. He said, wow, he goes, I wish we could have gave you a better game. I mean, he was, you know, but he never sees us. And he's like, I hope you keep us on the schedule for here to come. He goes, man, we'd really enjoy playing you guys.
That's awesome.
It was good. And, you know, that's the biggest thing is you hear, you know, Mommy is 11-0, but they play the, okay, well, now we're 11-0 and we just took out one of the powerhouses.
What are you going to say now?
Yep. So let's be honest. You know, give these boys the respect these boys deserve.
So again, I've said it the last 2 weeks because I didn't know how I was going to work with Evan, but this is probably my favorite part of the interview is the desert island thing because I never know what I'm going to get from you guys. So the first question is, if you had one meal to eat for the rest of your life, what's that meal that you're going to eat?
I love a steak bowl. So steak and like brown rice.
Okay.
A little hot sauce on it.
Yeah.
That would be, and some chips to, you know, to do the scoop out with.
Yeah, yeah.
That would probably be my go-to meal.
Favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Slapshot.
Really?
The hockey movie, Slapshot. I just think the lines in it are classic. It's an older movie.
Well, yeah, yeah.
but I remember I was a big Toledo Gold Digger fan.
Oh, yeah.
My parents took me to the Gold Digger games, and my boys play hockey. So I've always been into the hockey thing, traveling around doing hockey. And that was a movie that came up, and it is kind of a go-to. If I need a good laugh,
It's a classic.
I go to the movie Slapshot.
For sure. For sure. Paul Newman's in it, and then they've got the twins, the
Hanson brothers.
Hanson brothers,
who
are,
again, Toledo boys, played hockey here in Toledo.
Did they really?
Yes. A couple of them played back in the Gold Digger days yes.
That's incredible.
So the Hansons have been here in Toledo.
That's awesome. Toledo's a great hockey town, man.
It is.
Toledo's
100%.
Fantastic.
And they're doing all these things, like, you know, that's what I said. I'm in it. And me, I love soccer. Don't get me wrong.
Well, absolutely.
Hockey's our go-to. My boys go to a lot of Red Wing stuff. We go to some, you know, we go to walleye games. And then I'm sure if you've heard about that whole semi-pro, the Toledo Mobsters.
The Mobsters,
both of my boys play on that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's we're kind of like hockey-oriented. If it's not a soccer game, it's a hockey game for us.
Okay. I learned something new. There. Well, more than something, but I learned...
Yes.
Chad Kane, hockey guy.
Yes, I do love hockey.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. So you're rolling up to the school to hop on the bus to go to Salina. What is the music? What is the artist? What is the song you're listening to get you in that mode to be ready to go?
So when you ask, are you saying me personally?
You personally, just in your car, nobody else is around you. What is song?
And you won't laugh at me, right?
I can't guarantee that. I can't.
So I am a huge Frankie Valli fan.
Oh.
And I listen to Frankie Valli if I'm driving to a game, sitting outside, having whatever. It is on my speaker. It is in the playlist. I am a huge Frankie Valli fan.
If this was a video podcast, I think people would see my jaw like absolutely on the floor. That's completely out of left field.
Yes. I was going to get to see him. My wife was going to take me for my birthday a couple years ago. He got sick and they canceled the concert. I am an absolute Frankie Valli fan. I could listen to his music.
That's
my wife
wild.
Took me to the Stranahan there to see.
Yes.
I always forget the name.
Jersey Boys?
Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
I watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll go back. But yeah, if I could go to a jukebox and the first song that I play in there is Frankie Valli.
It's going to be Frankie Valli.
Yes.
That's
and the boys
incredible.
Will tell you.
Oh, they know.
They know.
They know? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Not everybody...
Well,
would ever imagine, but that is my go-to.
I don't know if you golf or not, but this is just, again, a hypothetical. If you're in a golf foursome, who are the other three people, famous, not famous, whatever, who are the other three people that are making up the foursome with you?
Funny, I saw this question on Cam.
Yeah.
So I would love to golf, I mean, just because of watching him and being able to, I think I would love to golf with Tiger Woods. He would definitely be one of mine.
Okay, yeah.
Just because of who he is.
Yeah.
I would love to golf with Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a Michigan fan. I would love to golf with him. And to be honest, I think I would choose Alex Morgan from the women's national team because I think she is a definite icon. And what she did for women's soccer is amazing. So I think that would be a fabulous foursome to talk with and just get to spend 4 hours with on a golf course.
Great answers. All right, last one here. Favorite book. What's a book that maybe you read that kind of changed things for you? And I know as an adult and busy schedules and stuff, it's tough to read a book. But
do you want to know what? To be honest,
yeah.
I don't do much reading, honestly. Like, more of it is for me if I'm on a downtime, I'm on the TV. But one book that I did read, cover to cover, is Grapes of Wrath.
Wow. We're going classic Steinbeck.
That is the only book that I've ever read cover to cover.
Really?
My wife reads a little bit.
Yeah.
But my attention span, I think I can't do it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I'm one of those that my brain is constantly going. And
sure.
So for me to do that, I get frustrated.
Yeah.
Or, I'm thinking about, what do I got to do Saturday? We have a game. Or what do we do here? Winter, I got to get training.
Right.
But the one book that I have read cover to cover is Grapes of Wrath.
Well, Chad, thank you very much for sitting down with us. This has been a fantastic talk. I would say good luck the rest of the season, but I'm not sure you need my luck, but I'll say it anyways. Good luck the rest of the season, and I can't wait to see where this season ends up for you guys.
Awesome. I really appreciate you doing this. I think this is an awesome thing that you're doing for the Maumee Athletic Program, so thank you.
Thanks again to Chad for joining the podcast. Watching the Panthers these last two seasons has been truly special, and Chad has his players off to another incredible start. Can he get him through the regional tournament and into the state Final Four this year? We'll find out over the next month or so, but I wouldn't bet against them. The Maumee Athletic Boosters for their continued support of the IMA podcast and website. If you're interested in supporting the students at Maumee High School and Maumee Middle School, you should consider getting involved with the Boosters. Their next meeting is Wednesday, October the 2nd at 7 p.m. in the High School Learning Commons. Also, be on the lookout for athletes selling golf balls for the gold card drone drop, happening during the soccer doubleheader against Central Catholic on October the 10th. You can purchase one ball for $25, two for $40, or five for $75. The winner walks away with $599 in cold hard cash. Second place is $400, and third place gets an awesome Yeti cooler package. Before we sign off this week, let's take a few minutes to look at some of the games and events coming up in Panthers athletics. Good luck to the golf team as they begin the sectional tournament on Wednesday. They play at Stone Ridge and Bowling Green in the Division I tournament. Also on Wednesday, the girls' tennis team hosts Northview at Shadow Valley. That match is scheduled to start at 4:30. On Thursday, the volleyball team heads to Genoa in the Northern Buckeye Conference. JV starts at 5:30, varsity at 7. Maumee won the first meeting this season 3-0. The football team tries to break its two-game losing streak on Friday when the Panthers travel to Lake for an NBC matchup. The Flyers are now 2-3 overall and 0-2 in the conference after last week's 55-28 loss at Genoa. Kickoff this Friday is scheduled for 7 p.m. in Millbury. The girls' tennis team is at Oak Harbor on Saturday morning for the NBC tournament. Meanwhile, the boys' and girls' soccer teams are at Wauseon. The volleyball team is on the road Monday for a huge non-conference matchup at Archbold. Varsity is scheduled to start at 7. The Panthers are back in action Tuesday, hosting Oak Harbor in the NBC. Also on Tuesday, the cross-country teams are in Oak Harbor for the NBC Jamboree. And that's a look at the next week in Panthers athletics. You've reached the end of another episode of Inside Maumee Athletics. Many thanks again to Chad Kane for taking time out of his busy schedule and joining us. Good luck to the Panthers the rest of the season. We're also lucky to have our supporters, the Maumee Athletic Boosters, the Mir newspaper, and Pride of the Panthers photographers. If you'd like to contact the podcast, email us at insidemaumeeathletics@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Inside Maumee Athletics on Facebook and at Inside Maumee ATH on Twitter. Until next week, thanks for listening.